Welcome back to Lynn Canal Voice. I'm reporter Abby Collins, and today we're digging into alarmingly low Chilkat Chinook numbers in the Chilkat River. Let's talk about management strategies. In order to conserve fish, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is planning to implement strict management strategies that will affect a range of local fisheries near Haines and Skagway. And that includes a near cutoff of sport fishing for kings. I talked with Fish and Game's Rich Chapel about sport fishing restrictions last month, and I just want to play a short clip from that interview.
Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do to increase ocean survival. That's just environmental conditions that are way beyond our power to control. But what we can control is a human harvest. And so to make the escapement goal, we're reducing harvest of king salmon in all the fisheries in Southeast.
So, Brian, can you give us an idea of what sport fishing restrictions in the Upper Lynn Canal will look like this year?
Sure. So north of Sherman Rock, so all of 15A and beyond, there is no king salmon retention from April 15th through the remainder of the year. So that means that that's a catch and release provisions for all those waters. That includes Chilkoot Inlet, Lutak, Taya Inlet. Now in Chilkat Inlet, that's closed to king salmon fishing from April 15th through July 15th. And that's just to that's a high concentration area for Chilkats. So we can't really afford a lot of catch and release mortality in those waters. So basically no retention, Point Sherman North.
And the Southeast Alaska King Salmon Sport Fishery is managed under the Southeast Alaska King Salmon Management Plan. But these restrictions go beyond even what that lays out. Is that true?
That's correct. Yeah. The way it's set up, the Pacific Salmon Commission, CTC, produces an abundance index, and that triggers all of the sport management in Southeast Alaska. So in the Haines area, in the Juneau area, the management has gone far beyond that and far more restrictive than just a typical year where we get the AI. It's a number. It tells us our all gear quota, which is divided up into net fisheries, troll, and sport, and that triggers our bag limits for the year. Well, in Juneau and Haines, we're going, like I say, above and beyond that.
So one of the things that will mean is no King Salmon Derby again this year if you can't retain fish.
That is likely unfortunate and true.
And that's been canceled for the last few years. Juneau has also canceled their area derby this year, which could that help limit the interception of Chilkats down there as well?
It will. We do have Chilkats that show up in the spring sport fishery in Juneau. Not common, but they do show up. And so, you know, our viewpoint now is to get every spawner we can into the drainage. And so by restricting the Juneau area sport fisheries, that will definitely help that.
So another area that will be affected by sport fishing regulations is charter fishing. And to talk about that, I want to bring another voice into the conversation. Ken Gross is joining us from Skagway, where he owns and operates Never Monday Charters. Ken, welcome to Lynn Canal Voice. Thanks for being here.
You can hear me now, all right?
You are loud and clear.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm here. So ask away.
Ken, could you just tell us a little bit about your business and how long you've been operating in Skagway?
This is my fourth summer in Skagway, and what I do is I take people king salmon fishing off the cruise ships mostly, and unfortunately, Skagway, we don't have a choice. There isn't other fish up here. There's always king salmon out here, but it's too deep and drops off too fast. And actually, there's a lot of current because the tides, the farther you go up in the inside water, the larger the tides are. And so the tides are a little strong for trying to help, like for halibut fishing or something like that. So we only rely on king salmon. So actually, I'm very happy they're at least letting us catch and release. And not just because I can still take people fishing. And I started telling everybody that it's catch and release only, and explained to them that, you know, we have a river that's, you know, close to almost 40 miles away that has a serious problem, and people have been halfway okay with it. I probably added up the other day, I probably lost maybe $5,000 worth of, you know, people that say, oh, we really want to take our fish back. And I've actually, what I've done to counter, you know, because people want to take their fish home, I've talked to Harry Reitz at Haynes Packing, and I'm going to have them fill out a card, and then they can get, it may be, you know, close to the same price of having their king salmon process, probably even better fish, only be sockeye, maybe even halibut, and shipped down to them as a replacement. And, you know, I just tell them that this is stuff that you wouldn't be able to get down south because it normally probably goes to Japan. So anyway, so they get excited about getting that instead. But they're still, I still lose people, but it's not as bad as it could be, or actually not as bad as I thought it would be.
So you are losing some business, but you're not shutting down.
Yeah. But Juno, I think, is closed all the way, and those guys, it's hurting. If they would have closed it down, most of all the people up here would have totally gone out of business and lost everything. So I'm so happy they didn't do that.
So you are still planning to have customers come out to catch and release this summer? They just
take those fish home. And I have been doing this for the last, ever since I started, but I've crimped down all the barbs of my hooks, and I've actually been trying to get the fishing game to, and I'm not being adversarial fishing game, I've mentioned it to them several times that the mortality rate, because we catch, this is kind of a area where the fish kind of hang out in Tai Inlet, that the kings do, and we'll catch them that are sometimes 25 inches or 27 inches. They have to be 28 to be legal, and they are really they're really frail at that point, and they're kind of heavy fish. And trying to get that barb out sometimes, all you got to do is just yank out a little bit and they'll start bleeding. And if the fish starts bleeding, then that's it for them. And unfortunately, I can't keep them and give them to, what I'd really like to do is keep them, give them to a nonprofit or some elderly people or something, because it seems like it just kills you. Just watch it swim away and you know it's just going to go on the bottom getting eaten by sand fleas or snails or something. And it's such a good eating fish. And, it, you know, but anyway, that's, I really would like them to implement barbless hooks. I think that, you know, I think it would really help. I've noticed a huge difference, and I'm out there, you know, 10 hours every day or two trips every day all summer long, and we release a lot of fish, and so do the other boats, and I really noticed a difference.
So catch and release this summer. I just want to turn to Brian Elliott really quick and ask Brian, why implement the same restrictions up near Skagway that are down in the Haynes Water? Why no retention up in Skagway as well?
That's a good question. Back in the day, when we started our Cotoar tag program, we discovered that we had a lot of rearing chilcats actually in Tai Inlet, especially towards the end of summer. So, you know, back in 04, 05, 06, there wasn't even a length restriction. There was kind of a open harvest policy in Tai Inlet. Now we discovered, well, holy cow, there are chilcats being caught, rearing chilcats for next year's run, for example. So there is a presence for the wild stock in Tai Inlet, so it does matter.
Mm-hmm. And there is the additional issue in Skagway of the hatchery in 2015. ADF&G announced that would be the last year of the king release in Pullen Creek.
Right, and that was a long-running project with pretty good success in my mind. I actually managed that project over there, and that was just a decision made by the department and DIPAC to terminate that project, unfortunately. We had several years before 2015 where it was really difficult to collect broodstock, and so that's what sent that project into a downward spiral.
All right, Ken Gross, we are running short on time. We have a lot more to get to, but is there anything else that you want to add about this upcoming season and the restrictions that you're going to be facing in your business before we let you go?
Well, I would just like to let everyone know that, you know, like the charter fishing and the commercial trolling and all that, and the gill netters, all those people that are being restricted right now, it's probably worth it, but, you know, like, I would like to make sure that they're, you know, like, the interception fisheries and everything. I know that the fishing game are doing the best they can do to monitor things, but I would really like them to concentrate on the interception fisheries, because we can't really control, and we, you know, the few fish that we catch up here, it might be 20%, but, you know, between all the boats up here, we might only caught 100 some kings last year. It isn't like out on the coast where it might only be 2 or 3% that are caught of chokats, but that could be out of thousands. And they also have freezer boats, freezer trollers out there that just fill their boats up, and they do it 3 days a week. They used to close king salmon. When I've been doing this 40-some years, and I used to guide out on the coast and at the lodges out there, and we used to be able to go king salmon fishing and just catch them all the time. But they used to close it at April, the beginning of April, like April 1st or something, and then they wouldn't open it up until July for commercial trolling until July 1st. And there was always kings to catch, and everything was good. And it was, the idea back then was to let all these fish go through. Well, now they have like a hatch release at this place called Soapstone, area in Lisianski Strait. It's right in the very beginning, and they open it up for trolling out there. And I'll tell you, after July 1st, when they'd start trolling, we didn't catch another king salmon the rest of the summer. I mean, they're very effective. But anyway, they're doing it like 2 or 3 days a week. And I know because I go out there every spring, because I just for fun before I start doing this fishing. I go fishing when I'm not fishing. Anyway.
Yes, and we are going to address interception in this next part of the conversation.
Okay. Well, I watch that.
Ken Gross, thank you for joining us. We need to, we were running short on time, so I've got to let you go, but thanks so much for joining us today. Ken Gross is the owner and operator of Never Monday Charters in Skagway. Ken, have a great rest of your day.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye. All right. We need to turn now to talk about subsistence and commercial restrictions locally. And to talk with us about that, Mark Soggy is in the studio. Mark Soggy is the area management biologist for the local subsistence and commercial gillnet fisheries at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Haines. Mark Soggy, welcome to Lynn Canal Voice. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity.
So the local and commercial subsistence gillnet fisheries have not announced official management strategies for this season, but you do have a very clear idea of what you'd like to do.
Yeah, we've since the forecast came out for the Chinook, we realized that we had to make a lot of fairly substantial changes and modifications to our commercial and subsistence fishery. So we've been working on that this winter and back and forth internally in the department. And yeah, I know pretty much what I'm proposing to do for subsistence and commercial.
So let's start off with subsistence. What restrictions are you planning to implement for the drift gillnet subsistence fishery locally?
Well, the drift gillnet is, you're talking about Chilcat Inlet, and of course the river as well, you can drift in that. And if I just started Chilcat Inlet, usually we can fish all the way up to just above the cannery point. But this year we're going to actually close the whole of the Chilcat Inlet until July 15th for any kind of drift subsistence fishing. And then the next opening will be from north end of Koshu south only. So the idea there is to minimize the potential for the subsistence nets to harvest any king salmon. So we just close it out and we eliminate that potential pretty much. In the river, we have an opening there for the whole river from 4 Mile to Chilcat Bridge. That goes until June 15th, and then usually we have a 7 day a week opening for the rest of the river from 19 Mile to the Wells Bridge, and we're not going to do that this year. This is the first year that we've stopped the 7 day a week opening of that area, and we're going to instead go to just 4 days a week for the river, and so that'll give at least a corridor, a period of time when there aren't any nets in the river at all to let the Chinook up.
I just want to play a bit of tape. I spoke with Chilcat Indian Village Tribal Council President Kimberly Strong about this yesterday, and I want to listen back to a little bit of that conversation, though it has been edited for time.
Kimberly Strong, I'm the president of the Chilcat Indian Village. My Tlingit name is Heske. I belong to the Kagwantan clan, the Eagle Wolf.
And we're here today talking about declining king salmon in the Chilcat River and upcoming restrictions for subsistence fishermen in the area. So first, I want to start by asking if subsistence fishermen have noticed this decreased number of mature king salmon returning to the river in recent years.
Yes, we've all noticed the size of the king salmon. We're not getting as many big ones as we had in the past. and people are have been letting them go through. And it's been noticed over the past 20 years, there's been a decline from year to year from our observation.
So how significant are these king salmon to subsistence fishermen in Clequan? How significant is a decrease in these king salmon?
The king salmon's an important fish to us out in the village. We use it. It's one of the first fish that hit the river in front of Clequan. The sockeye and the king salmon, they seem to arrive close to the same time, late part of June. And generally, it's in July as Fish and Game, as observation, that the bulk of them will come through. This time of the year, it's much drier for us in the area, so drying the fish is really a big part of our fish processing in June and July. So if we aren't able to get our fish then, the fish later in the year, if we try and process the fish for drying in, say, late July and August, they don't seem to be having as much oil. I'm talking about the sockeye now. So if we can't catch the sockeye because we don't want any nets in the river because the king salmon are there, then the process of the most aged part of our traditional processing is the dried fish and nyety. We wouldn't have the best quality that we're used to. The dried fish in June and July turn out to be not as tough, not as hard as fish dried later in the year.
So you're referring to likely restrictions from Fish and Game on the subsistence fishery that could impact not just the kings, but sockeye as well.
Yep. The restrictions of of stopping the fishing in the Chilkat River in front of Clequan would impact our regular processing of fish, putting it up for the winter. The quality that we receive, like I said, in June for the dried fish is much superior to July and August. It is treasured more for people, and they seem to, the king salmon heads that our elders eat, and we actually all eat the king salmon heads, and we do a fish camp during the summer, and the kids are enjoying the king salmon heads and the bellies and the fins. We don't waste any of those parts of the fish. We smoke them or dry them or just bake them in the oven. So it'll have an impact. It most definitely will. And it's really scary that we don't know why the king salmon aren't returning.
Have you seen restrictions like this in the past?
In the past, I understand when we were looking at shortages that our community decided on their own that they would pull back the number of days they would be fishing or made their own restrictions and followed it more closely. You know, we have talked to Fish and Game out in Clequan as government officials, and we've asked Fish and Game that they don't make any strict rulings until we have an opportunity for them to meet with the community and help us come with a community-based decision.
All right. Is there anything else that you... All right. So, Mark, as she said, you have been meeting with representatives in Clequan and will continue to meet with them about this. Is this the same kind of feedback that you've been getting, a concern about not being able to participate in that fishery earlier in the season?
They've been very responsive, actually, to understanding, which is what you expect, to understanding if there's a decline in the strength of a run, that they would reduce their harvest rate and allow some of the fish through. It's to everyone's benefit to do that. And yeah, I am, Rich and I are both, Rich Chapel and I are both going to the community meeting tomorrow morning to do a presentation of what our plans are and what the state of the Chinook is. And we do certainly recognize the need of the subsistence fishery, and the 4-day a week opening should allow the harvest of sockeye during the time period that Kimberly was saying was so critical. So that should be responsive to that.
So I want to make sure we get into the conversation about commercial fishing towards the end of the hour here. So the main commercial fleet in Haines is the gillnet fishery. They're not targeting kings when they're out fishing, but they still are going to face some restrictions as well. And why is that?
Well, what the idea is to minimize the take as much as we can, but still allow the harvest of other species as they go through, minimize the take of Chinook. And so in order to do that, we're imposing quite a number of restrictions. The Chilcat Management Plan that's in the regulation has been is restrictive only in Chilcat Inlet for the commercial fleet, but we are actually moving the fleet further out and over and opening up the whole west shoreline of the Upper Lynn Canal. And we're putting restrictions on for both mesh size. In other words, you can't fish anything bigger than a 6-inch net, which will reduce the retention, the capture of king salmon. We're going to put night closures on in the first 3 weeks or so of the Upper Lynn Canal, which will reduce what Brian was referring to about the feeder kings around. So if we have night closures, the king capture rate at night is much higher for immature fish. So we're going to try and reduce that. And in the lower end, we're in the boat harbor area, we're moving the line in from 2 mile limits to 1 mile to try and stop the interception of fish passing on the outside. And instead of opening it up 7 days a week for the first month or so of the season, we're going to only open it up at the maximum 4 days a week. And any other openings that we have down there will be both restricted in time and area in an attempt to conserve and reduce the harvest of king salmon.
So I've spoken with several commercial fishermen in the last few days about these restrictions, and it seems that they're all pretty much on board. They want to do everything they can to help mitigate the problem with king salmon. I talked to J.R. Churchill yesterday and Cynthia Adams. And one thing that Cynthia said that I'd like to play a little clip of is that, you know, as they just want to see everyone pulling their weight and doing their share. And this is what she had to say.
Observation is across the board, as far as, you know, across gear groups and, you know, sport, commercial. I mean, as long as everyone is playing a role in the conservation, then that's fair. And we need to be conserving from, you know, when they're entering these inside waters all the way to, you know, up the rivers. And as long as everybody's doing their share, then hopefully we'll have some success.
And so it sounds like really there is a wide stretch of everyone doing their share, though there has been one gear group raised in the last few days as I've been having conversations with fishermen, and that is the seiners. Have there been commercial restrictions on commercial seiners implemented yet that you know of?
As far as I know, we have not come up with a specific plan to limit the seiners, other than the fact that they're limited by what they focus on. Anyway, they focus on the pink salmon, but no, that they have not been included in the specific list of restrictions that are coming out to respond to the lower forecast. But the trollers have certainly been, and of course gillnetters and all the way up, but the seiners have not. No.
I do want to talk about trollers as well. That was something that came out earlier this week. Fish and Game announced that trollers will see a significant reduction in their harvest this season, allowed over 100,000 fewer fish than last year. Brian, can you talk a little bit about that?
I sure can. So the CTC, the Chinook Technical Committee of the Pacific Salmon Commission, we produce the Abundance Index, which manages Chinook catches coastwide. So that just came out. It was 1.27, and that basically sets the southeast allowable catch, all gear allowable catch, at about 209,000 fish. The way it's broken out from Board of Fish structure is that the trollers will get about 155,000. That's their allowable catch for the season. So it's not necessarily tied to our wild stock troubles. It's more of a coastwide abundance level. So, for example, the Columbia River stocks are coming off their peak. They're going to be, you know, significantly fewer in number this year. So that's what drives that quota. But just about the spring troll fishery, for example, Chilcats are harvested in basically five main areas in the spring, and that's Bingham, that's Homeshore, that's Lisianski, Tebenkoff and Chatham Strait. So myself and my colleagues, we presented management with these high interception areas. The spring troll openings have been cut back considerably. For example, in the Homeshore area, spring troll usually starts on May 1st. This year, it's going to be June 11. In the Port Althorpe, the Bingham area, it's going to be limited to 2 days a week, and it's normally 4 or 5 days a week, for example. So there is some more restrictive management in the spring troll fishery, but overall for the SEAC troll catch, it is going to be less, but that's more of a Pacific Salmon Treaty result than just our wild stocks.
Mm-hmm. And I want to bring up one comment that we got from a listener. It's a question, actually, and that is, are the commercial fishermen in Icy Straits and Cross Sound in the Juneau area intercepting Chilkat River Kings? And how they're wondering how that factors into this.
Right, so commercial troll. Yeah, Homeshore is one of our prime interception areas, and we identify that through recovery of our code wire tags. And so that's one of the major points of emphasis that we wanted to make with troll managers, is that, hey, here's a high interception area, not just for Chilkats, but for Taku fish also. So they're basically delaying the opening for about 6 weeks in that area. So that should help reduce that interception rate.
All right. We are almost out of time here. Is there anything else that either of you would like to add about this situation or looking forward? Is there any cause for hope that we might have for these Chilkat kings?
Well, I think there's always cause for hope. I mean, we have a fairly intact ecosystem in the Chilkat River Valley, so our end, the habitat end, is not and really run down or degraded much, and like is common down south. And so if the ocean conditions change, then we should the fish should come back. We have all the management tools I think that we need in terms of what I can do to restrict and reduce the harvest. So yeah, I would say there's still positive things to say.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a Cubs fan, so I'm always optimistic. But to that point, our smolt populations leaving the drainage are average or above average for the last several broods. So that's a positive. We do have good freshwater production continuing. I feel like the last 8 to 10 years has kind of been a perfect storm of hostile marine conditions. These maturation rates, which are changing, I hope they swing back, because we really need those six-year-olds back in our population. And so, yeah, it's alarming. I think the department is responding the proper way. And is there a way out of this? I sure hope so. But like I say, in the course of time, we have seen these dips before, and the population has responded. So these are resilient fish. And I really feel like if we just give them a chance to make little incremental steps every year, that this population can rebuild and we'll see better numbers in the future.
All right, Brian Elliott and Mark Soggy with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Haines, thanks so much for taking the time to be here and to have this conversation today.
Yeah, and I just want to say, you know, I'm always around in my office if people want to talk about fish. That's one of my favorite topics. So I'm available, and, you know, if this conversation triggers anything, don't hesitate to contact me.
Yeah, that's definitely the same with me. I'm here and responsive to anything, and can always make time for people to come in and talk about these
things. All right. Thank you both. And that's it for Lynn Canal Voice today. I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining me this hour. If you have suggestions for topics or guests to have on the show, let us know. You can reach me at reporter@khns.org. Today's program will be rebroadcast Saturday at noon for those who weren't able to tune in this morning. You can also listen to it online at khns.org. This is KHNS, Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan.